Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective post-game Game 5 podcast. Joining me here is our good friend Tim Bontemps, sitting courtside at Chase Center. The Warriors...
I'm the stand-in. I'm the Johnny Carson stand-in, last-second fill-in emergency quarterback guest.
I don't want to go too far behind. I love you like a brother, but you were not the scheduled guest, but that's neither here nor there.
It's all right.
You're the guest, and...
The scheduled guest didn't show up like the Celtics didn't show up today.
The scheduled guest is a former Celtic, so maybe it's related. The Warriors win a game 104-94. It wasn't that close. To take a 3-2 lead, they're now one game away from their fourth title in the last decade. A lot of times during the course of a year, you will be at a game and you'll be talking about a game to me and you'll say, this is a weird game. And what do I always say when you say this is a weird game?
There's no such thing as a weird NBA game, Tim. That's what
there's
you say every
NBA.
Time.
There's no weird games. There's just NBA games.
That's correct.
Well, I'm here to tell you that this was a weird game.
As I said to you when you texted me about this during the game, if there ever was a weird NBA game, Game 5 of the 2022 NBA Finals is a weird NBA game.
I'm going to tell you two things about this game just to illustrate how weird it was. Number one, for the first time in 233 games, Steph Curry did not make a three-pointer.
Not only did he not make one, he had gone 24 for 50 through the first four games, and today went 0 for 9.
Right. And he really wasn't even close to making one.
Not really. By the way, still over 40% for the series. That's how hot Steph was before.
True. Two, the Celtics missed their first 12 three-pointers in this game.
And
it wasn't even the longest cold streak of three-pointers missed for the game.
Well, and then... The Celtics made their next eight.
And then they made their next eight, and then later on the Warriors missed 14 in a row. So this will probably go down as the Andrew Wiggins game. As good as he was in Game 4, he had the game of his life tonight. Also 0 of 6 on threes. The Warriors won a game where they went 9 of 40 on threes. 26 points, 13 rebounds. His career high was 13 rebounds. He's had 29 the last two games. He had two steals, two assists, an absolutely brilliant game defensively. Jason Tatum was 10 of 20, but it didn't feel like it. And he played great defense when he was on him. And Wiggins provided the separation that was needed. And Klay Thompson, who has been knocking on the door of a good game, he's had some good periods. He had 20 points, 21 points.
Klay Thompson hit two massive threes late in the third quarter. Boston surged ahead. Celtics finally had a good third quarter, first time in ages, first time in the series.
Yeah.
And he hit two massive threes when the Warriors couldn't hit a shot that kept them in the game. And then they had a big run to end the quarter, and then they blew out the Celtics start the fourth quarter. Those two threes by Klay and Wiggins' play, those two shots by Klay were massive in this game because Boston had a chance to go up, you know, 6, 8, 10 points at the end of the third, really continue that momentum. Said it got stopped, and then the Warriors just took over from there.
And then, you know, Jordan Poole hits the three at the buzzer of the third quarter, which is out of his fingers with a tenth of a second.
Yep.
And then they go on a 10-0 run. You know, if he misses that, I know it's not that big of a difference, but the Celtics are up two going to the fourth instead of down one.
Well, and think about it this way too, Brian. 2/10 of a second to go in the second quarter. Robert Williams commits a foul, I think on Wiggins.
That's right.
And then Ime Udoka gets a technical. Might have been the first quarter, either one. I think it was the first quarter.
It was the first quarter,
And then the Warriors had a chance to make three free throws, only made one of them. So in 3/10 of a second to end two of the quarters in the game, the Celtics gave up 4 points.
So
terrible end of the first, terrible end of the third, even before that. That was really costly for them.
Yeah. So they survive a game where Steph goes 7-22 overall and 0-9-3. I mean, just saying that the way this team is structured and the way this series had gone, that they could survive a game where Steph goes 7-22, 0-9, and not just survive it, win it going away.
A giant missed opportunity. Just a gigantic missed opportunity for the Celtics.
And I would say coming home, your chances, you know, Wiggins and Klay Thompson shooting well, playing well. Wiggins didn't shoot that well.
The series is coming back here.
Probably, but I'm just saying, like, the Celtics, this is the first time they've lost back-to-back games since late January when they've played their guys. They lost a game in Toronto in March when they didn't send anybody.
Right.
But so it's a real, you know, it's the first time in like 5 months they've lost back-to-back games. And one of the reasons that they've that's been true is that, you know, they defend and they typically are the better team. And, you know, you could argue that maybe they shouldn't have won both Game 4 and Game 5 because Steph's incredible performance. But there's no way they should have lost both Game 4 and Game 5.
No, it's just, I mean, look, they what have we said time and time again about this team? When they take care of the ball, when they win the possession game, they win the game. And that comes down to them doing what they're supposed to do, right? And in both these games, they did not do what they were supposed to do. You know, Ime Udoka, Al Horford, Robert Williams all got asked right at the beginning of their pressers, how did you guys come out so flat to start this game, right? Draymond Green is flying around, wreaking havoc. Andrew Wiggins was playing great defense. Klay Thompson was up in guys. The Warriors are getting all up into the Celtics' business from the beginning of the game. The Celtics looked flat. They were totally thrown off their game.
Yeah.
And they had a large stretch of the
first
Warriors
quarter. The Warriors played this game like it was 2-2 game five.
Right. The Celtics played it like a regular season game in February. Yeah. The Warriors played like their lives depended on it.
It's crazy. This Celtics team is maddening. I still think they're the better team. Am I crazy?
No, they are. I think they are the better team because, again, it comes down to when the Celtics play the way they are supposed to. I shouldn't say supposed to. When they play the way they are capable of playing, they are clearly the better team. But I would say rather than maddening, I find them hilarious because as you go through these playoffs.
You say that, but I don't think many of their fans.
Well, Celtics
think it's
fans
funny.
would not think it's hilarious, but I do as a neutral observer. But you look at this team and they can't win games after they win. They can't win two games in a row. They can't win games at home. Until this game, they had been 7-0 after losses. They were 8-3 on the road. And even in this game, they played terribly. And we're still down one at the start of the fourth quarter and had every chance to win the game and then completely laid an egg in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, it's just they are just the most bizarre team. I just saw Jason Glushon, the agent for Al Horford and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and Sam Hauser, I think, on the Celtics. And we were laughing. He said, this is exactly what I would expect from this team to have this kind of game today. And I said, yeah, we joked and said there's almost no way this team is going to lose on Thursday just because it's how their whole season has gone. You know, Ime Udoka has this thing where he says constantly, we always make it hard on ourselves, right? That's like his favorite thing to say about this team. And they certainly have done that, giving away these two games that they very easily could have won. And now we go back to Boston with their season on the line and we'll see if they can get out of another hole.
They've played seven the last two rounds. I mean, maybe that's what's going to happen here. So Jaylen Brown, I swear, I don't know why he just can't hold the ball sometimes.
It is wild. For a guy as good as he is, he just goes through stretches where he just loses the ball all the time. Happened in the Miami series, happened again today. And Jaylen, this is a good example of a Jaylen Brown game where he tries to do too much, right? Like Jaylen gets in trouble when he starts trying to force things. And the Celtics couldn't get anything going to start the game. And you could see Jaylen kind of say, all right, none of us are doing anything. I got to try to get us started. And when he starts playing like that and gets out of the sort of the flow, that's when things start to go haywire. And he started forcing a bunch of jumpers, missing a bunch of shots. But he and Jason Tatum both just didn't play with enough force. Tatum's line was the most deceiving line. He shot 50% from the field. He was 5-for-9 from three. But he certainly didn't feel like he played that kind of game at all.
No. And so if you look at the turnovers, which, you know, let's the dipstick.
What do we say, Brian?
I mean,
condition green, Tatum 7 or more assists, Celtics 15 or fewer turnovers. Was today condition green or condition gold? Which was it?
But it was condition gold at the start of the fourth quarter. It was a one-point game, and you looked at that number, and the Celtics had 14 or 15 turnovers.
Yep.
And and Tatum had three assists. So it was condition gold even before the run.
100%.
So they had 18 turnovers. Tatum had four assists. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum combined for 13 turnovers.
Just not acceptable.
You can't win that way.
You just can't.
You can't win that way. And, you know, another break that they got is that Kevon Looney, who has been so important for this team.
Came in and got 3 fouls in 3 minutes.
He was completely neutralized. Now, Draymond Green played much better.
He had
an overall
first half, but he was really invisible in the second half.
He had 8 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. It was good. Fouled out. It was good, but.
And he had 8, 5, and 3, I think, in the first, like, 15 minutes of the game.
Yeah, he didn't score in the second half. it is a here's another thing that why the Celtics, and I don't make to make this all about the Celtics because we're going to talk more about Wiggins, but Robert Williams, we weren't sure how he was going to look in this game because he had retweaked his knee.
Looked great.
Flew across the country. He said he was okay, but we didn't know. He looked terrific. He plays 30 minutes in this game.
Played 18 minutes in the second half. Had 12 at halftime. Played almost the whole third quarter. Malik Andrews, who was about to go on TV, I think, over here, was texting me at the end of third quarter. She was like, is that normal that he would play the entire third quarter? And I said, well, look, the season is on the line.
Right.
They were on a huge run. They clearly decided they were going to ride him. But I actually just asked Robert Williams if he's feeling better as the series has gone along. Now, obviously, we were very concerned about him when he limped off at the end of game four. But he has said the 2 days really helped me a lot. He feels like he's going to be good to go again Thursday. Well, and he has been Boston's best player by a significant amount.
Well, let me tell you how much he's the best player. Okay, so he has 10 points and 8 rebounds in 30 minutes. Let me just tell you some plus minuses here for the game. Jason Tatum, minus 13.
That's an accurate from by the eye test number.
Al Horford, minus 19.
Also accurate.
Jaylen Brown, minus 19.
Also accurate.
Marcus Smart, minus 9.
Also accurate.
By the way, the Celtics got 4 bench points. They had some junk points later, but their core guys scored 4 bench points.
Derek White has gone back to being shook when he shoots. Not a good sign for Boston.
Derek White, minus 13. Grant Williams, minus 18. That's indicative of a team that got handled.
Yep.
Now I'm going to tell you about Robert Williams.
Robert Williams played 31 minutes, I'm going to remind everybody. What was his plus minus?
Plus 11.
That also is accurate by the eye test.
But the difference in the Celtics defense when he's not out there and when he is out there is wild. And Al Horford is not a schlub.
Al Horford's one of the best and most mobile defensive bigs in the league still at 35.
So they get a game where Robert Williams he's played better, but he looked very good. They get a game where it's Tatum's best shooting game of the series, with an asterisk, but still.
Right. The Warriors couldn't make a three. Steph was 0-for-9. Looney was in foul trouble. I mean, you just said all those things in a vacuum before the game, Jason Tatum's going to shoot 10-for-20 and 5-for-9 from three. Robert Williams is going to play 31 minutes and look good. Steph's going to go 0-for-9. Looney's going to play 3 minutes
Smart
in the first half.
Marcus Smart, 7-of-15, 3-of-6 on threes. 20 points. They had won 8 games in a row when he scored 18 or more. Now they've lost 2 in a row. Like, there's all kinds. You know, I talk about the condition. I mean, the indicators that matter were bad, and the indicators that didn't matter were good.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, the Warriors are going to be getting on this plane tomorrow going, great googly moogly, we got a chance to take this damn title.
Yes.
And I don't. I mean, they've earned it.
And listen, I think what you said before is what I think the story of the game is, which is the Golden State Warriors, a team that has been to 5 previous NBA Finals, that has won 3 championships, has done all this stuff, came out and played this game like their lives depended on it. And the Boston Celtics, who have been this maddening, hilarious, whatever term you want to use, team that has been all over the place all throughout the playoffs, has been up and down, has not been able to put away teams they should beat, et cetera, did not come out with the requisite energy and focus and effort. And that's why they lost the game. They got in a giant hole. They should have been down. We were joking at the end of the first quarter. They should have been down 20. And yeah. I thought they might bail themselves out of it because of that. They almost did.
They got hot shooting from three.
Right, but in the end, that's what it came down to. The Warriors came out and played this game with the requisite focus and energy, and the Celtics didn't. And that is why Golden State has a chance to close the series out in 6.
And we'll say this. No matter what you want to say about Andrew Wiggins' career, no matter what you want to say about him being a starter in the All-Star team, no matter what you want to say about his salary, no matter what you want to say about anything else, this was a money on the table, chips on the table, got to play game. And Wiggins had a great game. If he does nothing else in his career, which he will, because he's still young and he's talented, if he doesn't play another game for the Warriors after this, it would have all been worth it.
Look, Ben McMahon on the pod, we talked about him going into game 5, right? Ben McMahon said he was worth the money that he's being paid. And you were like, I don't know. I'm loath to give our man Ben McMahon credit, as you know. However, Andrew Wiggins played 43 minutes again in an NBA Finals game, had 26 and 13. He's worth the money. And the fact that he has become a solid, dependable, above-average two-way wing player, That's why the Golden State Warriors are in the NBA Finals. Yes, I mean, that's not to take away from Steph Curry. Obviously, Klay Thompson's back. Draymond Green is back. But Andrew Wiggins becoming this kind of player for them, that was the piece they needed to get here. Because if it was just those three guys and the collection of guys they have around him, it wouldn't be enough.
He's somewhere in between Harrison Barnes and Kevin Durant.
I think he is Harrison Barnes in a positive way. Like, Harrison Barnes was a really solid.
Yeah, he's maybe slightly better than Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, I mean, Harrison Barnes was really good.
But
man.
Either way, I don't want to argue that.
No.
But they won titles with Harrison Barnes.
I mean, go back to 2015. They won a title with those three guys and Harrison Barnes and Andre Iguodala. That was the team.
Right.
And, you could argue they should have won the next year. And then, obviously, LeBron and Kyrie led the Cavs back and they won. But but that was the core of the team. And Andrew Wiggins has slotted right into that role. And he has been incredible. It's really impressive.
Well, I do agree with you that we're probably going to be back here in a few days. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, even if that's just a 10-minute low-impact class, they have those too. And when you're ready, take it up a gear with a 30-minute live DJ ride. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Oh, what are you showing me? The time? Is that what you're showing me?
No, this.
Oh, sorry. We're talking without talking. He just sent me a text. I mean, if you want to, we can't. Yeah.
I think you had a great point, which is that the Golden State Warriors are a game away from the NBA championship because they have the ability to outspend everyone else.
You know, Bob, so earlier this week, Zach Lowe had a story where he talked about people, the CBA talks are starting, and Zach was talking about how teams are grumbling about how the Warriors have it's a $340 million payroll.
I have heard the same grumbling.
Yeah, so have I. And Bob Myers did not like that Zach, it wasn't about Zach, but Bob Myers pushed back on that. And he did a radio interview within the last 4 or 5 days, whatever it was. And he's like, you know, you shouldn't be penalized for paying your own guys. I mean, you know, he's saying, like, you know, we're paying Steph for 40-some million. We're playing Clay 40-some million. We're playing Draymond 20-some million. You know, people shouldn't be upset for paying your own players. Be that as it may, Andrew Wiggins is a luxury item who makes over $30 million a year. People are like, boy, Andrew Wiggins is underrated. Well, he makes $30 million a year, and he was on the All-Star team. He's not underrated.
Right.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, last year the team was barely in the luxury. You know, the Bucks were barely in the luxury tax. The Celtics are, like, barely below the luxury tax.
The Lakers were not in the tax when they won.
The Lakers were not in the
Raptors
tax when
they won.
Raptors are barely in the tax. Like, this is really the first. I mean, there have been teams that have the number one payroll win the title before.
But
obviously,
when the Nets did this, maybe you could say, I think even when the Cavs did it, there was not when they won. It was later, right?
Well, the Cavs spent a lot of money. They might have been the last team that had the number one payroll that did it. But I wouldn't say the Cavs bought a title. The Cavs, you know, spent a lot of money, but they didn't.
Right.
And, you know, if Bob Myers was here, he would say, we didn't buy a title either. And I wouldn't say that they did. But you don't just have to defeat the Warriors on the court. You have to defeat their checkbook.
And by the way, look who's coming next year. The Los Angeles Clippers, who were not at no chance to compete this year because Kawhi Leonard was almost certainly not going to play. And they went out the trade deadline. They traded for Norm Powell, who's got $72 million left on his contract. They traded for Robert Covington and then extended him, right? They added tens and tens of millions of dollars to a team that was already way into the tax in the future to load up to be probably, if they're healthy, the favorites next year.
Right. And I mean, like, that doesn't explain, in essence, why the Celtics turned the ball over. I'm not saying that makes a difference, but when you look at when that Andrew Wiggins is out there and able to have these last two games as is he their fourth best player? Is he their third best? I don't know.
I mean, he might have been the second best player. But either way, you look at where the Warriors are. Like, you talk about long-term ramifications of winning this championship. Golden State wins one of the next two games. You better believe that over the next 6 months, as we get towards this February opt-out date for both sides for the CBA, there's going to be a lot of discussions in a lot of ownership groups around the league about, look at what the Golden State Warriors are doing in their cash cow of an arena we're sitting in.
Where they have
They have more money than God to spend. You know, Steve Ballmer's got more money than God to spend. These teams are loading up, and we don't know if we can compete with that. And it's just an underlying thing that's going to be out there.
What happened was, so the Warriors owners aren't as rich as Steve Ballmer. Steve Ballmer gets $800, you know, in addition to his salary, in addition to his stock holdings, Ballmer gets $800 million a year just from his Microsoft dividends.
That's a lot of money, Brian.
Microsoft dividends,
that's a lot of money,
million.
Brian.
But that's – Joe Lacob and Peter Guber are not that rich. But what they did was is that they sold off – a few months ago, they sold off 5% of the team.
How much was that 5% worth, Brian?
$300 million.
That's a lot of money also, Brian.
most of the NBA teams in the league were purchased for less than $3 million – or $300 million when they were bought.
The Warriors, I think, were purchased for $350 million, if I remember correctly.
I think it was
might have been a little 400. More than that. It was in that realm, though.
But 5%. So that's a $5.5 billion valuation.
That's a lot of money, Brian.
And then about a year and a half ago, they sold a portion of this arena for $200 million.
It's also a lot of money, Brian.
So they raised, by selling off fractions of the arena, they raised $500 million to help cover their losses in this period. And, you know, every home finals game is probably worth.
And by the way, like the Clippers the past couple this year, right? The Warriors during the pandemic last year, they won 15 games. They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't sell pieces off.
That's right.
They kept Kevon Looney. They kept Andrew Wiggins. They had all this money on their books. Klay Thompson's hasn't played the last 2 years on a max deal, right? So he's coming back from this injury.
Right.
They extended Draymond Green. They gave Steph Curry a supermax. Like, they use their resources to the max, which, again, full credit to their ownership group for spending, full credit to the Clippers for spending. Like, if you're fans of those teams, you're like, this is great. The teams are spending money.
I mean, it's not – in this exact moment as we're sitting here in the moments after Game 6, it's not like everything, but – because, I still think the Celtics have the better team.
Well, I've thought that the whole time. I picked them to win the series, and it's just they're just laughable. They're just a laughable team that does insane things. And just go, like, how is this happening?
I know your guy, Chris DeMarco, from the Warriors assistant coach, he didn't like that you picked in the last round, you picked Dallas to win in six, and they got up 3-0 and says, how can they
win? He sent me a text, I think I said on the pod, and said, can the Mavericks win four games out of the next three? And I said, it took you a 2 weeks to think of that. He said, it took me longer, which I enjoyed.
So now is he going to text you?
He knew my pick. We had a chat about it before this game.
Can they win two of the next one?
He knew where it he knew where it came from. I did pick Celtics in six. I do think the Celtics are going to win game six just because the way especially my playoffs have gone, where every series has gone as long as possible. My wife texted me at the end of the game and said, well, this is definitely going seven now. I would tend to agree. By the way, I have to say, this is totally off topic, but I lived out here in my past life before I came to ESPN, wrote for the Washington Post, and my first games that I've covered here at all were in these finals, and I remember being here for the groundbreaking for this arena when Peter Guber, one of the owners of the team, along with Joe Lacob, had the dancing cranes.
There was cranes that were set to music that were moving.
They were literally spinning around and dancing. I just think about it every time I come here and go, it's been a long 5 or 6 years.
They brought the banners over and they're clearing space for one more. And we'll talk about it on the Hoop Collective pod before game six, which is Thursday. And maybe.
Well, are we coming back here for game seven or not? Make a prediction for
once. I think so. I think we're coming back for game seven.
So do I.
All right. Thanks for listening to Hoop Collective pod. Thank you to Bontemps. Thank you to Courtney, our producer here. Thank you to Jackson. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.